Bibles to Luke chapter 1, and one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And I don't know, every time I read it, it's just filled with, to me, with excitement. But let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, that you want to speak to us. You want to build our lives. You want to educate us. You want to encourage us. You want to broaden our horizons. Help us to see beyond time and space and to be able to see eternity. And Father, I pray that you would take this time and just bless it. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're entering the Christmas season. And it is a wonderful season. It is a really, really wonderful season. But the fact is that it's a season that can be greatly misunderstood. We can really just have all these false expectations, all this. We can even be filled, I don't know if this happens to you, but sometimes you can even be filled with a sense of sadness and even of emptiness. Because of the fact that we build certain things and we believe that things need to go in a certain way and an environment has to be within a particular atmosphere. But Romans 12, 1 and 2, well, actually verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." And that word, be transformed, is actually allow yourselves to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if I was to ask you, what would our Christmas look like in order to be a blessed Christmas? What would it look like? And here in Luke, particularly verses in verse 5, it says, you know, what I love about this chapter, and I can't read all of it because it's just so much, but you have different characters. You have Zacharias, you have Elizabeth. And these are people that are quite old and have not been able to have children. So they have a life of disappointment. In that culture, you were seen as God's favor not being upon you if you didn't have children. And you know, they served the Lord faithfully and no kid. For Mary and Joseph, the angel comes to them and ruins their life. In some ways, you could say that their lives get ruined because an angel comes to Mary and says, hey, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and you will bear a child. And then you have to go tell Joseph that. Joseph, it wasn't you, but it wasn't anybody else either. It was God that got me pregnant. And she had to live with the consequences of possibly losing the man she loved. And not only that, but that you would actually not only lose the one you love, but be seen as, someone that just goes with anybody. You're betrothed with somebody, and then you just go with somebody else, and you get pregnant, and there you are. And as a matter of fact, with Jesus, he lived with the reputation that he was of illegitimate birth. So in some ways, you see, one, Zechariah, I mean, it says in Zechariah, they had no child in verse 7 because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as a priest before God in the order of the division, according to the custom, he actually had to go to the temple. And as he goes to the temple, he meets an angel inside the temple. And the temple says, and the angel says, your prayer has been heard. Oh, my goodness. And next thing you know, a bad situation becomes almost like fixed. The great hope of their lives was just fixed in that moment. But in some ways with Mary, things got tough in that situation. But we, in our lives, we can cultivate certain patterns of thought and expectation which are actually setting ourselves up for disappointment and personal failure. If we do not allow our minds to be renewed, to think biblically, and what I mean by thinking biblically is put your life with God and look at it through the life of God in other people of the Bible. And so that we are able to say, oh man, I'm going through this. And I tell you, Zechariah for me was amazing. One time I was teaching this during Christmas. I think it was during Christmas. And it was, because I taught this here. And we just found out that Loretta was pregnant. And I was like, oh my goodness. And you know, I felt like Zechariah all these years, 15 years married and with no kids, 5 treatments of IVF and no kids. And next thing you know, Loretta and I are in Disney with Jonathan, and we're going in all these roller coasters, and Loretta gets all moody. And I'm like, Loretta, what's up with you? And I said, you got to get tested. And she's like, if anything, I'm going into menopause. By the way, there was no COVID then. I didn't mean tested for COVID. You know, it's just like, and so we went home, and I got her 3 pregnancy tests, and she took one, and boom, positive. And I was just like, oh my goodness! And all that season before was a hard season. I mean, for me, it was easy not to have kids because I raised my brother. I was 13 when my brother was born, and it was hard. And I knew having kids was no joke, but I mean, to see Loretta cry, almost every month would be an exaggeration, but quite often. And for me to not be able to come, and I would come for Loretta, well, maybe God's protecting us from something. And she would come with like, well, I'd rather have loved and lost than never have loved. I'm like, oh my goodness, what do you do with that one? You know, it's just like, and it was a tough season, but it was a season. It was not forever. And I think sometimes we can kind of not realize those seasons, and And here in the scriptures, I just love to see Elizabeth and Zechariah. They've gone through a long season of misery, but change was on the way. And with Mary and Joseph, they were young, all of life ahead of them. And God's plans for them were a lot different than they expected that their plans for themselves were. I mean, you know, their plans for themselves were definitely not, you are the virgin of Isaiah 9 that's going to bear a child, that is going to bear the Son of God. But we can have certain patterns of thought and expectation which are actually setting ourselves up for disappointment and for personal failure. And in the Bible, we are never told that our lives as Christians will be trouble-free. Now, please understand that. We are not told that anybody on earth will have a trouble-free life. It's not just a Christian thing. The reality is that in the world that we live in, everybody goes through good times, through bad times, through ugly times, through seasons. People are either coming out of a trial, going into a trial, or in the middle of it, or in the middle of a trial. And that's just a reality. And as Christians, we are not any different. In the Bible, we are never promised that as a genie, we receive Jesus and all of a sudden everything is just wonderful. On the contrary, we are told that in this world there will be difficulties. It's not just Christians. In the Canary Islands, people are going to celebrate Christmas this year with a couple thousand houses that no longer exist. They were neighborhoods where there were people, four or five families lived next to each other. Imagine that, going to each other's houses. And all of a sudden, their houses are inaccessible. They've been buried by lava. What will their Christmas be like? What is the Christmas of the Bible like? And world events can bring anxiety to our hearts. We can be afraid of the present. We can be afraid of the future. We can deal with anxiety. I'll tell you, we all deal with it. I was this morning, I mean, actually with Miriam and with Lizzie, Miriam says, try to forget COVID. I said, as soon as I get my negative test from the lab so I can fly, I'll forget all about COVID. But until then, I'm going to be worried about it. And there's an anxiety. Why? Because you want certain things to happen and your happiness sort of relies on it. I mean, your happiness relies on whether you go or whether you stay. Fear of the present, fear of the future. And then if you have an active imagination, that can be a blessing, but can also be a curse. I mean, I've got a very active imagination. So, you know, I can be on a plane and I can tell you all the scenarios that can happen on that plane. What will happen to us? What suffering shall we have to endure? Will we be able to stand it? Will our faith hold? Will we be strong enough? And the reality is that we can be like those people that Jesus talked about, that people receive the Lord, but then the cares of this world, the anxieties of this world can come and actually eat up what God is doing in our life. And Zechariah and Elizabeth, they had a challenging situation in their life. And then not only that, not only waiting for a child, but then you get a child and he's John the Baptist who eats grasshoppers. You know, you're just like, really? I mean, he must have been kind of odd. But I mean, you know, and look, let me talk about COVID for a moment. I mean, but think about all the restrictions and stuff like that. You know what? They dealt with restrictions. They dealt with government control. No, they didn't. Oh, yes, they did. Look at Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So the government, Caesar, a foreign government, not even a national government, a foreign government is actually ruling over Israel and says, look, we're going to control you guys. I want to know who you are. I want to know where you are. I want to know what you're doing. And you know what? Joseph and Mary, while she's pregnant, well advanced in her pregnancy, she gets on a donkey and they travel from Nazareth all the way to Bethlehem. I mean, these things, you know, sometimes we think, oh, we're only living through this thing. No, 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 a lot of people have lived a lot worse than we have. And Timothy was alarmed. Timothy, Paul saw that Timothy was alarmed and he tended to be an anxious person. And you know what? You know what anxiety is? Anxiety is a waste of time. Have you ever worried sick about something and it never happens? Do you ever worry about everything and anything? As a matter of fact, anxiety causes you to miss and enjoy the present. You can be so worried about the future. You can be so worried about the past. You can be so worried about different things that you're actually never making the most of where you're at. Not enjoying where you're at in life, but like Paul says, those that compare themselves by themselves are not wise. So you think, oh man, if I had that, or if I had this situation in my life, and that anxiety keeps us from enjoying what we've been given. And you know what? One of the greatest secrets we can learn in the Christian life is learn to preach to ourselves. I mean, to be able to look at, I mean, you know, you look at Zacharias and look at Elizabeth and say, man, maybe they were 60, maybe they were 50. I mean, there's some actresses that have had children now, they're 55, you know? And maybe it's just like, oh my goodness. You know, if they could go so long without it, if they were without child, maybe I can celebrate Christmas no matter what the circumstances in my life are like. And Paul told Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. And the present circumstances can also shake us. You know, some of them, some seem to be doing well financially. And some of them have the finances, but not the health. Some of them have the health, but not the finances. Some have lost loved ones. Some might be in abusive situations. Some might not have health or money. But we cannot let our situations have the last word in our life. In the story of Christmas, the original story of Christmas, there was reproach, there was accusations, there were governments taking more control, there was disappointment, there was hardship, there was poverty, there was success, there was happiness, but those circumstances and feelings did not have the final say. And you've got to think, not only was it like that, but there was 400 years of silence where God had not spoken as he had spoken before. And in some ways, when we read our Bibles, we've made it about ourselves exclusively. What happens is we want to read our Bibles that we might just fix my situation. And what does God say to me? I think that is the source sometimes of our difficulty with finding what the Christmas season is about, which is love, hope, faith, joy. Sometimes we don't find these things, we don't achieve these things because we're actually focusing on our, exclusively on our personal situation. Of course, the Bible is personal. Of course, it is intimate. And without it, we would go crazy, we would despair. It's just a wonderful thing to be able to pick the Bible and allow the Lord to minister to us, minister to our souls, minister to our hearts, minister to our motives, bring, you know, comfort, forgiveness, vision. It's wonderful, all these things to personally receive from the Lord, from the Word. But the Bible is bigger than that, much bigger than that. Not just for our own personal comfort, but there's actually a larger picture. And this is what you notice in the story here in Luke. In the story of Luke, you see Zechariah is in the temple and Gabriel comes up and he says, your prayer has been heard. And you just think to yourself, what prayer? It's a good question to ask, what prayer? Because Zechariah was praying for the nation, for the Messiah to come. But I bet you Zechariah had prayed for a child many times, but he had given up. He had given up praying for that. And it's amazing to me because when Gabriel says to Zechariah, your prayer has been heard, Zechariah, when he's told that he's going to have a child, he goes, oh, come on, that can't be. He had stopped praying about it. And God did two things. He fulfilled the prayer of the nation and the prayer for Zechariah, all in the same. Your prayer has been heard. He was making the way for the Messiah through John the Baptist, his son. So he was going to get the child, but he was also going to get a mighty child that would be a part of the plan of God. And you know what? Sometimes what we need is to see not only what God is doing in our lives, but what God is doing in the world. I think that's the beautiful thing. When God enlarges our hearts to see what He is doing, the Bible is bigger than that, and not just for our own personal comfort, but there is a larger plan. And the entire world and its destiny, and you and I as individuals are a part of it. The whole world and you and I as individuals are a part of it. So you see, to see this larger picture is important. And to see the larger picture, listen guys, please listen to this. When we read our Bible, it is important that we do not pick and choose our favorite parts of the Bible. You ever read the Bible like this? I have loved you with an everlasting love. Oh, yes. Give to the poor. Oh, no. You know, it's just like we pick certain verses and we're like, oh, yeah, that's for me. Oh, no, that can't be for me. But to read the Bible, to it's okay to read our favorite psalms and our favorite verses and the Sermon on the Mount, but the Bible is more than that. To be able to read the Bible for the beautiful story that it is the story of where the world comes from and where the world is heading and what God is doing with it. As we realize that in knowing the Bible and the author of the Bible, we see that history has been filled with these types of events, and they have never stopped the plan of God of which you and I are a part of. So we might have a Christmas like they had, with all kinds of crazy circumstances. Circumstances do not dictate. See, we can reduce life to such petty things where there's so much more than life to life than just existing. I mean, literally, we can reduce life, and particularly with my mom said to me, oh, I'm just tired of Christmas. It's just spending money. You know, and in some ways it is. I mean, you just have the pressure of the tree, the pressure of the meal. I've told her, get a ham. And sometimes we can get caught up in the pressure of it all and just focus on such petty things. Those things are great to exchange gifts with one another, to be able to be together as family, to all these things. These things are wonderful in itself. But please understand, as we read the scriptures, those are secondary things, not primary things. When COVID hit, I don't mean to make this about COVID, but I mean, it's just a point of when COVID hit and everybody was just at home, locked down here, and people were dying in different parts of Italy and Spain. And then all of a sudden, this is what alarmed me the most at the beginning was when the football game stopped. I just thought, what is going on? That there's no more football games, no fans in the stadiums. But I don't know if you guys, I mean, all you Germans will know who this guy is, but Jürgen Klopp, Bayern Munich, no, Dortmund. Dortmund's coach, and now he's Liverpool's coach. A Christian guy, by the way. Sometimes you might not be able to tell by his temper. I mean, you have some pictures there where he's just like, but he's a Christian. He's actually a believer. But at one point when everything shut down and football stopped, he said this: all of a sudden, football isn't so important. We can reduce life to eating and drinking and accumulating and existing. And we can misunderstand the Christmas season. It is a wonderful season, but it is a season that can be greatly misunderstood. And I just want to briefly, what time is it? Yeah, very briefly, mention four things that I think are the most important things that we can possibly have this Christmas that are primary. And everything else is absolutely secondary. So what is it that we want to look to have? What is it that we want to ask God for this Christmas? Number one is love. Doesn't matter whether, I mean, isn't it beautiful that it doesn't matter whether you have a lot, whether you have little, whether you're sick, whether you're healthy, whether your kids are, you know, doing well or doing bad. Circumstances absolutely have nothing to do with this. You can have everything and not love. And you can be in the worst of circumstances, and yet you can enjoy being loved by God, loving God, and you can enjoy actually loving people. I think it would be fair to say that one of the primary things that we should look for in our lives this Christmas would be to know the love of God, to love Him as we see Him, obviously not pretending, to see Him and love Him back, and then to love one another. And this is challenging. I tell you, I'm going home for Christmas, and you're like, oh, you're going to America for Christmas. You don't know what it's like in my mother's house. Oof. 2 Christmas ago, we were there. And you're not going to believe this, because I know you guys think I'm a saint, but I was just like, I had my bags packed. I had no car because we had turned it in, and I was ready to leave. And I'm like, I'm leaving. I'm not celebrating Christmas here. And Loretta's like, oh, come on, Raph, calm down. What are you doing? You're making a scene. I don't care. I'm leaving. I don't know how we survived that one, but we ended up staying. And then I was talking to Peter, and I said, I'm going home for Christmas, and with my mom, it's going to be quite challenging. He's like, just say little. Say little, you know? But it is true. I mean, at the end of the day, what is it that I want to go there for? Why is it that we want to be together? At the end of the day, I want the kids to be with them. At the end of the day, I love her. I owe her my life. And sometimes we can just let little things that irritate us. And isn't it true that with some people, some things irritate you more than other things? Oh my goodness, with my mom. I love her to bits. But the other day I called her, and I told you guys last week that I had a really rough week. And I called her up, and I said, oh, Mom, how you doing? She's like, oh, I'm okay. And I said, and she goes, how you doing? I said, well, I had a rough one. And she goes, well, now you know what my life is like. I'm like, no, 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 no. You're not going to make this about you. It's not about you. This time is about me, you know? But the reality is sometimes things like that can sort of wind you. And you're like, and we need to ask ourselves, why am I so irritable about these things? Why can I not detach? Why can I not be, why can I not be rather than they? Why can I? If love covers a multitude of sins, why is it that I just get irritated by everything? Maybe it's not for them to change as much as for me to grow, an opportunity for me to grow. And the reality is that we need to, you know what? And we looked at it a few weeks ago. We need to make it the aim of our life to be loved by God, to see the love of God for us, to reciprocate that love as we realize the great plan of God. And that, listen to this, Jesus said, by the way that you love one another, they will know that you belong to me. And the Bible says this, if you cannot love him who you can see, please understand, you do not love God who you cannot see. So let's, this Christmas, let's do one thing and say, you know what? And they all kind of tie together, but let's do this one thing. Let's say this Christmas, whether we have little, whether we have a lot, whether we're healthy, whether we're sick, whether there's these situations that could be better, whether I have no child, whether maybe I'm going to be a reproach and people are looking down on me, no matter what, I'm going to make it the aim that this Christmas, if there's going to be anything found in us, it's going to be that we love each other. We had two couples here over the years that I remember. One is Alex Britton, and the other one I can't name because it's a negative situation, so I don't want to do that. But the first one, it was when we were there, and there was that room there, and this lady comes up to me, and she says, you know what? You know what they say? When money goes, love goes, so I'm divorcing my husband. Just like that. And I said, well, that's what you said at the altar, right? They're still together. But it was, I was just like, and I can get feisty with stuff like that, you know? And then, but then we had Julian and Britton, and they were living here. They lost everything. They had several houses, and they were doing a business with it. They lost every single one of them. She was a brand new Christian. And she said, but we still have each other. Love. Powerful, huh? For us to be able to grow into that. And you know what? It takes effort. I mean, it's a fruit. It's produced by God in us. But it also takes us applying it to our life. Faith. If there's going to be anything in our this Christmas with us is trust. I don't really like the word faith. You know, I like the word trust because faith is always connected with getting something. If I believe, I'll get this, you know. But trust To me, it carries a deeper meaning. It carries the meaning of a relationship with someone, a friendship with someone. You know, before I got married, actually, I could identify with John Lennon, the Beatle, because he goes, "I'm just a jealous guy. I was feeling insecure. You might not love me anymore. I began to lose my mind." You know, I was really jealous. And then Loretta became a Christian, and then we ended up married. And it's amazing because I've never trusted anyone like I trust Loretta. And it's a beautiful thing to be in a trusting relationship. Now, we might not all enjoy that situation, but the point I'm trying to make here is that we should all enjoy that relationship with Jesus. We should all have that trust. I told you guys, I think it was last week, I would always tell Jonathan, when we first adopted him, he came into the house. The poor guy was terrified. He didn't sleep the whole night. He was just too scared to fall asleep. He didn't know who we were. He didn't know how we were going to treat him. And I would go out with him, and he says, "Where are we going?" And I said, "I'm not telling you. Just trust me." And then he was like, "What are we going to do?" "I'm not telling you. Just trust me." And then I would take him like to Belver, to the woods, and I would take him climbing. Or one time, actually, I picked up a friend, took him to the airport, and we went to watch Barcelona. And the point I was trying to make is, when you're in doubts, when you don't know what's happening, where you don't understand what the plan is, it's okay. Trust, because I have the best intentions for you. And I was hoping that he would transfer that to God. Rather than being filled with insecurity, with doubts, with capriciousness, to be people that are able to just trust the Lord, realizing that whatever circumstances we're in, that He is able, as a potter and the clay, that as we are spinning in this situation and we don't know where up is, where down is, that His loving hands have a hold of our lives. Trust. The third one is hope. And you know, you have trust. You can have trust, but trust is different than hope. Trust sits, hope leans. Right? Trust, I believe that I have this confidence. I believe that things are that I'm loved. But hope leans that something is going to happen. You know, we hope this November that we would have good weather coming, and sometime soon, you know. You know, it's just like you lean towards it. As a matter of fact, it says, hope that is deferred makes the heart sick. We make ourselves vulnerable. We lean towards it. And then if it doesn't happen, it's just like, oh my goodness. But that we would have hope, that we would lean on God through trust, realizing that He is Jehovah Jireh, provider. He provides. And I'm not talking about financially. I'm saying He provides emotionally. He provides transformation. He provides strength to endure situations. I mean, I think hope that, I mean, I trust, but I also hope that certain things get changed in my life, that certain things will happen. And then finally, the fourth thing that we are to look for in our life, no matter what, during this Christmas, is joy. And joy is way different than happiness. And I know that you guys all know this, but happiness comes from the word happenings, which means the circumstances in our life. Listen, there's not a person in this room with perfect circumstances. Not one. We all have needs. We all have things to be grateful for. There's all kinds of things. And we will never experience joy unless we give up this mentality that everything has to be perfect. Nothing great is done by everything being perfect. And I think we need to go from the perspective that, you know what, life is the way it is, but you know what, God, by enjoying His love, by trusting Him, by leaning on Him in hope, He produces joy rather than happiness, which is that which is unshakable. As a matter of fact, Jesus said this, you are going to sorrow, but you will be sad, but you will rejoice with joy unspeakable. And He was talking about when He went to the cross. Oh my goodness. I mean, here the disciples, 3 years, they leave everything in love, in trust, in hope. They leave everything for Jesus. And then also Mary, the Christmas story. Mary sees Jesus and the Simeon told him, and a sword is going to pierce through your heart. And she sees her son die on a cross. She bore him. And the disciples saw Jesus die upon the cross and they left everything to follow Him. No doubt they were thinking to themselves, what in the world did we do? It's a bunch of baloney to follow Jesus for this. And then 3 days passed and they went to the tomb and He wasn't there. And next thing you know, they're talking to one another, and Peter and John, they run to the tomb, and you know what? And then they saw Him. Now, do you think that the sorrow went down and down and down until they were able to live with it? No, no, no. Their sorrow, their sadness was turned to joy. As they saw the resurrected Jesus, they saw life beyond the trial. And sometimes we only see the difficulty. We don't see the resurrection. We don't see the ability of God to be able to turn situations and to turn hearts. And sometimes we can't enjoy the joy, or we can't have that joy, because we are not able to see that we might sorrow for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And if I could give you guys an exhortation, let's, and me, myself, preach to ourselves, let's make it our aim not to have all these unrealistic expectations of what Christmas and things should be like, but rather to have the expectation, you know what, that no matter what the circumstances that we find ourselves in, and we all find ourselves in different circumstances, that we will rejoice. Not by the circumstances, but because we see the plan of God. We see the hand of God. And I want to read to you a verse that is very... It's one of these verses that I read when I first became a Christian, and it's been kind of like a life verse for me, but it's Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry morsel with quietness, just a dry piece of bread, with quietness and peace, than a house full of feasting, with strife, with fighting, with arguing. You know, you can have a house, you can buy the best jamón ibérico. Oh my goodness, that's so good for Christmas. Every time we're here, we just get a whole ham, you know, and I start in November, you know. But it's just, it's not about having the the best gifts or the most food and the best decorated. Because you can have that and be absolutely miserable. You can have a house full of feasting with strife. And it's not just strife with others, but strife with ourselves. But the Proverbs say it's better to have a dry piece of bread with quietness, with peace. Again, it's I really believe with all my heart is by the transfer, do not be conformed to what the expectations that Christmas should be like, but allow yourselves to be transformed by the Word of God. And here in these verses, and you can read it afterwards. It's a great thing to do at Christmas season, to read Luke 1, but you see in Luke 2, you see the joy even. I mean, they have nothing. Mary and Joseph, they give pigeons as a doves as a sacrifice because they were poor. They went to Bethlehem and they found not a room. They had to go into a manger to give birth. And then they had to be hospitable on top of it to all the visitors that kept coming. And yet, Mary goes to Elizabeth and Elizabeth goes, "Oh my goodness, the baby inside of me leaped." And there's joy, there's love, there's faith, there's hope. And may your Christmas, these next couple weeks that you have, may they be filled with that. That is the foundation. That is what matters. Everything else is secondary. Should we pray? Should we pray that the Lord will help us, help me with this, and that we will be able to just be just enjoy that. Lord, we are so thankful. We are so thankful for your plan in the world. And we didn't get into this, Lord, but you know, those 400 years of silence, those prophecies that were being fulfilled, their hearts were enlarged. I mean, your angelic presence, I mean, the Gabriel being sent over and them experiencing your plan. Oh my goodness, who cares what else goes on as long as we find ourselves in your plan. You said to the disciples, when you pray, say, "Our Father who art in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And may our hearts be filled with what you are doing in eternity, in time, and in our own personal lives. And may our eyes be illuminated, the eyes of our hearts with that. And that our lives, no matter what is going on, there will be a sense of love, how loved we are. A sense of trust, just trusting you. A sense of hope, leaning on you. In a sense, you know, the practice, Lord, the thankfulness, the joy that we have in our hearts. Though we do not see you, yet we love you and we rejoice with a joy unspeakable. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, I want to say something, though, about this joy thing, because I believe that it's possible to be joyful even when we are terribly sad. And it's possible to be happy while we are in the midst, while we are terribly sorrowful. And you're like, "What? What do you mean by that?" Have you ever been somewhere and you're just happy and you're just talking to everybody, but inside you're dying? I believe with the believer, with the Christian, with a person that finds true joy, the true foundation, you can be 90% sad because of a loss, because of pain, because of betrayal, because of dire circumstances. But when you go to the depth of that, when you get to the bottom of that sadness, what you find there is an inexhaustible joy as a foundation. Have you ever had that? You search deep and you get to the bottom and there it is, joy. And yet, I've been on the other side where I was very happy, but the happiness was very superficial. And when I dig deep, and obviously when you're in that situation, you don't want to go deep, because you realize the deeper you go, the emptier it gets. And this is where Jesus makes the difference, guys. Jesus said, build on a solid foundation. Build on Jesus.
Come let us adore. capture my heart. I surrender my will. Focus my mind till I'm yielded and still. Hearing your voice to answer your call. Carried away till I can't speak. To answer your call.